scripture reading this morning will be taken from John 13, verses 34 through 38. John 13, 34 through 38. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. At this time, would you also please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
In the verses just read, Jesus gave an identifying mark for his people. He said that Christians would be known for loving one another. The people who first heard this command knew a little something about love. We know the Greeks had four different words for love. They had a word which has become the basis for our word erotic. This word was used to describe intimacy between a husband and wife. Eros was also a type of love that was associated with a lot of ambition and sometimes intense patriotism. In fact, this is the kind of love which is now visible with the war with Iraq. People have a great deal of patriotism. They are willing to fight for the country, and that is the kind of intensity described by Eros. The Greeks had a second word for love. This was the word storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. And storge love was the kind of love which was associated with family love. It was the natural kind of love. This would be the love that we would normally expect to find among both Christians and non-Christians. It should be the kind of love which exists between parents and family members or close relatives. Now, we see this kind of love. We probably have this kind of love. In fact, this is a very common kind of love, but we do not have a specific word for it. English has one word that's used in a wide variety of ways. But the Greeks had different words to be more specific. They were very exact in the language. Their attention to detail is found in the third word, phileo. This was a friendly kind of love. It meant something like cherish. People were fond of someone or something. Phileo described concern. It described care. It described a desire to be hospitable for or toward someone. All three of these kinds of love are important. They all have a rightful place in society. But when Jesus and Christianity came along, they introduced something that was new. They brought to the world a kind of love which was different. And this was why in John 13, Jesus said, I have a new commandment. I want to draw your attention to something which is unlike what the world has previously seen. Jesus said this commandment involved loving one another, and the Lord was right. Through the kind of love, the fourth kind of love described in different parts of the New Testament, we have a love which is unique. The fourth kind of love is agape love. Erotic love would not have been very useful in saving mankind. Natural love is good, but it's insufficient to do what is described in the gospel. Phileo love is good, but how can God cherish someone who is totally opposed to him and unforgiven because of sin? So there becomes a need, as you look at the words for love that the Greeks had, there became a need for a different kind of love, a special kind of love. And this special kind of love is described by this word agape, A-G-A-P-E. The first three kinds of love that I described all have to do with the emotions and feelings that people have. But agape love is a little more on the logical side of things. Agape love has to do with the mind. It has to do with the intellect and the will. Agape love sees someone or something that is valuable and says, because there is value, even though it may not be the most desirable thing, because this person or this thing has value, I'm going to act. And this helps explain to us why the Bible says what it does in John 3:16. For God so loved, what kind of love? Not erotic love, not phileo love, not storge love, but agape love. Man was in a bad condition, a condition where he was completely separated from God, but agape love allowed God to look at mankind and say, this creature has value, so even though he is opposed to me, there is material worth, and I will act. And this is really the idea behind agape love. A person sees something that is useful, something that has value, and he or she acts. When you look at agape love as a noun, as a verb, and an adjective, it occurs about 320 times in the New Testament. And this should tell us something. This is an important part of New Testament teaching. When a word occurs or an idea occurs over 300 times, it needs to be something that we pay attention to. And Jesus did this very thing in John 13. When we think about who Christians are, we must say they are people who not only possess agape love, but they are people who demonstrate this form of love as well. To have a better understanding of what agape love is, I want to do a very brief study with you from 1 Corinthians 13. One of these days, we may go through this chapter quality by quality, but this morning, I want to take the descriptions given by Paul and treat them rather quickly. The chapter describes agape love. This is the word that's used throughout this chapter, and the first part of the description is found in verse 4. Love, agape love, suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, and Paul says is not puffed up. The first aspect of love is that it suffers long. This word describes patience with others. We all know someone who is good at losing his or her temper. There are times, of course, when all of us are short on patience. But according to the first quality of agape love, a Christian, someone who possesses this form of love, is generally patient with others. One source says suffer long means or describes controlling wrath, which easily boils over. When we know someone who lives in this type of way, we generally appreciate him or her. Someone who is able to be patient, someone who is able to restrain themselves. This quality makes a person stand out from the crowd. New Testament Christians who have agape love demonstrate this trait. The second point about agape love is described with the word kind. As you look at this word, it may appear to be an adjective, but it's not. It is a verb. That is, it describes action. It means that we do something. This single word means that Christians are motivated to engage in activities that are good and kind. One ancient writer describes it as being sweet to all. This is the attitude which says, we want to help. We want to aid. We want to render assistance to others. And when the pagans in the first century began to see the church, a group of Christians, going out and trying to help others, they were absolutely stunned. They could not believe that other people could be so decent and kind and benevolent. And yet the basis for that was found in agape love. The third point is described by the word envy, and this word has different senses in the New Testament. It can be used in a way which is positive or negative. Here it means that agape love, the people who have it, do not berate others. It means they do not malign others. This quality even eliminates resentment. Now, these ideas are fairly common in the world. In fact, things are in a state where we almost expect them. But the Christian has no interest in berating others or being verbally abusive. And the difference, then, between a child of God and someone who is unsaved is like night and day. And the basis for it, again, is agape love. This form of love prevents vaunting. This word is only used here in the New Testament, and a good definition for it, and I would encourage you to put a marginal note in your Bible if you like them. A good definition is a windbag. You know, we sometimes hear people who just talk and talk and talk. They're a real windbag. Well, the Bible has something to say about that, and it is this word vauntings. This kind of person boasts. This type of person exaggerates and is really full of himself. In many instances, there is a desire to wound or criticize others. This person pays tribute to himself or herself and at the same time often tries to drag down others. The person who has agape love says, I refuse to live my life in that way. I know what that kind of activity is like, but this will not typify my life. The saved also avoid being puffed up. This is an interesting expression because of the seven times it's used in the New Testament. Six are found in this letter. The Corinthians must have had a big problem with this. The word describes someone who puts on an air. And we've met some people like that. Robertson, in his word pictures of the New Testament, says this person is puffed up like a set of bellows. And if you've ever seen one, you know that there are some people who are like that. People who have their nose in the air, people who are uppity. And the Bible says that no Christian with agape love is ever full of himself. All right, looking at the next verse, verse 5, here is what Paul says as far as the next set of descriptions. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, the King James says easily, taketh no account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Synonyms, the first word that we have is the word unseemly. Synonyms for unseemly would be dishonorable, disgraceful, and indecent. Some translations use the word rude. The ideas here include those with agape love try to keep others from blushing. A person who has agape love wants to avoid humiliating others if that's possible. The person who has true love does not want others to be embarrassed or shamed. Christians with agape love have no interest in doing what's indecent or disgraceful. This word then means that we do our best to adhere to God's standard of and for decency. This word also means that we have no interest in being out for ourselves. Those with agape love do not seek their own. We know people, and I'm sure this is true for each one of us, who have themselves as first, themselves as second, and themselves as third. It's me, 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 and me, and then they start with I, and I. Paul says those who have agape love have a desire to serve others. Right after this, Paul says in verse 5, this kind of love is not easily provoked. The King James adds the word easily, and it means that agape love helps people avoid flying off into a rage. This quality, this form of love helps people keep violent tempers in check. It's been suggested that the King James translators added the word easily because the king they were working for had a violent temper. Now, that may or may not be true. Whether it's true or not, it helps make the point. Those with agape love are not easily provoked. At the end of verse 5, we learn something else about agape love. It takes no account of evil. This can be explained in one of two ways. It may mean that people do not keep a record of the offenses committed against them. There are some people who do that. There are some people who can go down the list and they can tell you date by date, almost hour by hour, every single time they were wronged. If that's what Paul had in mind, and that certainly is one possible explanation, agape love means that people overcome that. It may also mean that people do not dwell on the evil done to them. There are some people who continually think about how they've been wronged, how they've been mistreated, how someone or life was not fair to them. In either case, this quality, again, is in contrast to what we find in the world. Moving down through the list, we now come to the information in verse 6. Paul says agape love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in truth. People are not happy about wickedness. They're not happy about evil. They take no delight in sin. They take no delight in injustice. For the Christian, sin is not anything that we joke about. Agape love is associated with truth. We talked about truth last week. If people are not involved with truth, we noted last Sunday, they have an imperfect love. And this truth encompasses every area of our lives. Truth involves worship. It involves the kind of life that we live. Every aspect of life must be in harmony with God's word. Agape love leaves others with an example that is both good and true. And this form of love also helps the people who practice it. Because in verse 7, Paul, in talking about love, says it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures in all things. Notice, if you will, the first expression. Paul says love bears all things. That is, agape love sustains the Christian. This is the quality which says to a child of God, when you become distressed, when you become annoyed, when you become discouraged, this quality will help you continue to progress. It is the way that we avoid being drawn away or drawn down by all the onslaughts against our faith. Love also allows us to believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Now, the belief of agape love does not mean that we let people lie to us. I found some people who come to this part of the text and say, well, we believe all things. So, here's something which is an outright fabrication. There's no way it can be true. And people say, well, I'm obligated to believe that. That's not what Paul meant. This word means that we believe others unless there is evidence to the contrary. Sometimes there is evidence to the contrary, and when that kind of situation exists, then we need to take a look at that. But basically, the idea is we have confidence in the goodness of others. That's what agape love requires us to do. Unfounded doubts and unfounded suspicions are rejected. At the end of verse 7, we find that love endures all things. This word endure was a military word. It meant withstand the assaults of the enemy. And when we think about agape love, we've met Christians at different times who were faithful for a period of time. There's a problem that arises, and then they drift from the faith or they completely leave it. They have an imperfect love. Because agape love, the Bible says, endures all things. No matter how difficult Satan's darts are, no matter how many assaults come our way, if a person has Bible love, storge love, that's fractured at times. Phileo love, that doesn't always last. Erotic love, that can come and go. But the Bible says there is a fourth kind of love that keeps a Christian going no matter what the conditions are. So when we think about who a Christian is, we have another answer. A child of God is someone who is guided by agape love. And living out the qualities, and again, each quality described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 regarding love is a verb. These are not nouns, but these are verbs. They're action words. These are qualities that we need to have in our day-to-day lives. And this love encompasses all the qualities described in this chapter. When we find someone who is living as 1 Corinthians 13 describes, then the words of Jesus in John 13 will be true. Jesus said, all men will know that you're my disciples. How come? Not because of the name that we wear, not because we look differently, but Jesus says the badge that you will have on your shoulder is the badge of love. You will be demonstrating, you will be living out the qualities described in 1 Corinthians 13. And when people demonstrate those qualities in their day-to-day lives, they will stand out. They will be unique. People will look at someone who is demonstrating this kind of life and say, they are definitely different from others. So we ask this question this morning. Are you someone who, number one, understands what agape love is? And number two, if you are a Christian, are you demonstrating the qualities that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13? If the answer to those two questions is no, we'd like to offer some help. If you as a Christian need prayer, if you need encouragement, if there are some things that you'd like to study, we would be glad to do those items for you, any of them or all of them. If you are someone who is not a Christian, this morning I hope you'll give consideration to the fact that even now we can make the four distinctions regarding love that were mentioned earlier. There's erotic love, that's still in the world. There is the family love. There is the kind of love where people can nourish and cherish others. But there is a fourth kind of love, which is the most magnificent kind of love that the world has ever seen or ever will see. And this morning we invite you to become involved with Christianity, with the faith, which not only teaches this form of love, but promotes it for the life of each believer. The entry point, of course, is baptism into Christ. When a person believes, they're on the right road. Repentance is also required. Jesus said that in Luke 13:3. But the Bible says salvation is in Christ. And we can't believe into Christ. We can't repent into Christ. We can't confess into Christ. But the Bible says we can be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. And this is what we find when we look at the New Testament. People were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Acts 2 verse 38. Then they began to demonstrate the qualities of agape love. That's what we find in the book of Acts. People were baptized and then they began to help and aid others. They began to demonstrate the very qualities listed by Paul. Are you a Christian who is abiding by the principles in 1 Corinthians 13? Do you need help or do you need to become a child of God? If there is any way at all that we can assist you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the selected song.